Border searches are deemed unconstitutional, Microsoft promises privacy under a new California law, and Google sweeps up tons of medical data. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morrison. This is ThreatWire for November 19, 2019. Happy belated birthday to me. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. If you are interested in supporting ThreatWire on Patreon, hit up patreon.com/threatwire. It's because of the generosity of people that watch this show that I'm able to make it every single week, so thank you. And before I hit the stories for today, I did want to touch on a couple of important news articles that popped up over the weekend. First, hacked Disney Plus account credentials have already started selling on hacking forums for about $3 a pop. In these cases, users were sometimes reusing passwords from other sites, and in other cases may have been infected with malware that could steal their credentials. Since Disney Plus currently does not have any form of multi-factor authentication, I recommend using a unique password if you don't already. I don't use Disney Plus, so I asked Twitter. According to several folks on there, currently Disney Plus does not allow for a way to view active sessions within the application, and there's no other way to log out of other sessions. Also, if you change your password, the other sessions stay logged in while active. Disney should definitely implement 2FA and additional options within the application to allow for device or active session tracking. Secondly, Facebook disclosed a vulnerability within WhatsApp that could be caused by an attacker sending an MP4 file to a target, weirdly. The issue happened due to the way WhatsApp parses MP4 elementary stream metadata, and it could cause a denial of service or remote code execution attack. Updates to 2.19.274 on Android or 2.19.100 on iOS for consumers to patch this flaw. And now we are on to our news. On Tuesday of last week, the U.S. District Court of Massachusetts ruled that U.S. border agents would no longer be able to do a suspicionless search of phones, laptops, and tablets at border points, deeming it unconstitutional. The court found it violates the Fourth Amendment, which states, quote, "the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." So that's great. In just 2018, U.S. border agents conducted over 33,000 device searches, and in 2017, that number was 30,200. Way back in September of 2017, the EFF and the ACLU filed a suit against the DHS Customs and Border Protection and Immigration and Customs Enforcement on behalf of 11 different people who had devices searched without warrants and without reasonable suspicion. This ruling closed that case. This also means that any U.S. citizen or legal resident traveling internationally heading into the United States would be protected under the Fourth Amendment as well. Now, border agents will need to prove some kind of suspicion of illegal contraband before they can search any device. Wait, contraband? Yeah, the ruling specifically says agents cannot search devices unless they have a reasonable suspicion that the device or the traveler holds some kind of contraband, be that digital or physical. The ruling does allow for searches if there is suspicion, even without a warrant. Now, this does not protect anyone who is not a legal resident or a citizen of the United States, as airports at borders are not considered U.S. territory. Still, this is a step in the right direction, and it should give international travelers from the U.S. a little bit more comfort whenever coming back home. California is making privacy moves, and it seems to be helping the privacy of the entire nation. The California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA for short, was approved back in June of 2018, and it will finally go into effect here in California on January 1st of 2020. According to the CCPA, companies must disclose what kind of personal data is being collected about their users, if it is sold, and whom they sell it to. Users can opt out of sales of data and have access to that data and can request that a company delete it. It adds transparency to the data collection policies. The new law had some pushback. The Internet Association ran ads saying that it would cost companies $55 billion to be compliant initially, and Republicans have argued that the bill is much too strict, saying that if a federal law is created, it should nullify this California state law, while Democrats have argued that the bill should be used as a baseline for other states. But this hasn't changed Microsoft's perspective. In a post published on November 11th, Microsoft notes that there is no strong national legislation for consumer privacy like the GDPR in Europe. The company has stated that they will honor the new CCPA rights across the U.S. to all of their users in the U.S. Now, while CCPA is not as strong on privacy protections as GDPR, Microsoft has stated that they will monitor changes in the law and make adjustments to provide more effective transparency and control under CCPA to people who use their products in the U.S. The company mentioned that they will be working with enterprise customers as well to ensure that they also comply with CCPA. Microsoft explains that they hope this new law further strengthens user privacy and places more accountability on companies. They want it to go further by making laws that minimize the amount of data companies can collect, specify for what purpose data is collected, and hold companies accountable for storage and use. Before I hit story number three, I wanted to say thank you so much to my Patreon supporters. I am putting together the annual physical rewards this month, so keep an eye on the updates on the Patreon page. Also, I want to start a security and privacy audio podcast as a part of the ThreatWire feed. That is my next big Patreon goal, so if you want to help, now's a perfect time to do it. Check out the community below. The link is in the description. When you sign up, you will automatically get a physical reward after your first year of membership and every year thereafter. Also, I wanted to say thank you to our Hush Puppy Perk Level patrons for sending in their fur baby photos. I love them. Keep them coming. Chosen by my patrons this week is a story on Google and medical data. According to news from the Wall Street Journal, Google partnered with the US's second largest health system called Ascension, which would allow Google access to the medical details on millions of Americans. The partnership is called Project Nightingale, and it allows at least 150 Google employees to have access to patient health info, including lab tests, hospitalization records, diagnosis, etc. Basically, complete medical records that are not anonymized. Names and birth dates are listed along with the medical data. So, does this have anything to do with Google also recently buying Fitbit? It probably does, and Google is already facing questions about how they will handle that data from Fitbit as well. Ascension and Google have not notified patients or doctors about this partnership. Google's objective is to develop AI that can make healthcare suggestions to patients while also creating a cloud-based tool that can host and search patient data, and of course, this could be marketed to health systems. Ascension wants to improve patient care, but they also find new sources of revenue, like ordering additional medical tests based on the data. Google will provide cloud infrastructure and G Suite to Ascension, but will also develop tools to help with healthcare suggestions. That part has come under fire. This merge does seem to be legal under the Federal Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, which is called HIPAA for short, and it clearly defines what the parties can and cannot do with the data. So, for example, Google cannot combine the data with any consumer data that they collect from other tools, and Ascension can't use it for anything other than providing services. But many are still concerned with the fact that patients and doctors were not notified in the first place of the way that data is being collected and by whom, the whom being Google. Also of concern is the idea of insider threats, where an employee with access to the data could resell it to the highest bidder. Will this data impact a person's insurance costs? And how is data anonymized, if at all, whenever it is being stored or transferred to the cloud? Shortly after the news surfaced about this project, the Office for Civil Rights in the Department of Health and Human Services chose to open an investigation into the partnership. The inquiry aims to find more information about the company companies and ensure that they are HIPAA compliant. Google replied to the investigation news saying that they believe the partnership is compliant within a blog post explaining more details about the partnership, and I have linked that below. Any private data storage in the cloud is going to concern me, especially if patients or doctors had no choice but to be a part of the program. There were absolutely no opt-outs whatsoever. Now, before I leave, I would like to say thank you so much to Rocky and Cy, who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you so much. Y'all both are awesome. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I am Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet. We'll be right back.